Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
We lead local. Live from the KFI 24-hour newsroom, I'm Jennifer Jones Lee.
Could you be the one to call when I lose control?
KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the free iHeartRadio app. It's the Bill Handel Show. He's out with his bad back. Some of the top stories we're following for you here at KFI. Hey, there was an earthquake, 4.7 magnitude, in Northern California near the town of Truckee. About 9:35 p.m. I doubt any of us felt that down here. LASD is conducting a review of their tactics after a video shows a deputy holding a gun right to the head of a suspect who's already prone on the ground and unarmed. Now, speaking of controversies, let's move over to the world of higher education. From KFI News, Corbin Carson joins us. Tell us about this big flapdoodle at Cypress College and why the teachers' union is really mad at the administration.
Yeah, this story is really fascinating because there's so many different competing things going on at once. So basically what happened was this student, Brandon Ellis, was giving a speech on cancel culture, which ironically this professor that we're going to talk about ends up going on leave as a result of the backlash. And then you have Cypress College come out. The speech was on Wednesday, last Wednesday. Cypress College comes out and says, you know, she's not returning in the fall. She's going on leave. You also have, during this debate, you have an actual debate going on in the video between the professor and the student that's looking at the question, are cops heroes? Should cops be on children's shows, et cetera? Remember that the speech is actually about cancel culture, though. And then you have this video that's been viewed by 1.3 million times by people, which causes people online to, you know, they're running to their political corners and start chiming in. You have these claims that liberals are planting agendas into education curriculums. You have students who are split over this professor, some like her, some hate her. And then you have this institution, Cypress College, that wants to protect free speech of students, but now has to answer this question of infringing on the academic freedom of the professor. So the best way to start this, let me just let you hear some of this debate. Remember, the student has just finished his speech. This is a communications 101 or class, so it's a basic communications class. He's just finished his speech on cancel culture, and we pick it up where the professor is saying to the student, you brought up police a lot in your speech. What's your main concern? She's asking, should police be on children's shows? And then she goes into the history of police as being systemic. And you'll hear a third student that's also in here named Jeremy that's not really related to this.
What does it stem from? It stems from people in the South wanting to capture runaway slaves.
Maybe they shouldn't be heroes. Maybe they don't belong.
That's Jeremy.
Mm-hmm. So I disagree with what Jeremy said about it, because I think cops are heroes and they have to have a difficult job, but we have to have
all of them.
I'd say a good majority of them. You have bad people in every business and every
police officers have committed atrocious crimes and have gotten away with it and have never been convicted of any of it.
So this professor goes on to say, you know, this back and forth continues. She goes on to say that the family, she has family who are police officers. The student, you know, is trying to get in a word in edgewise. And to his credit, he says, look, this is just my opinion. And in this second cut, you'll hear how the debate really heats up. And here it goes.
This is what I believe. This is my opinion. And this is, you know, not popular to say, but I do support our police. We have bad people, and the people that do bad things should be brought to justice. I agree with that. But I think that, say it again.
They haven't.
Well, I agree with you on that point of they should, right?
Okay, so what is your bottom line point? You're saying police officers should be revered, viewed as heroes?
I think they are heroes in a sense because they come to your need and they come and help you. And they have a problem just like every other business, but we should fix that. But I think they're heroes.
Well, I think that's the problem, looking at it as a business, because they're actually supposed to protect and serve the people.
They do protect us. Who do we call when we're in trouble and someone has a knife or a gun?
I wouldn't call the police.
Why wouldn't you call the police?
I don't trust them. My life's in more danger.
Who would you call?
In their presence.
Professor, who would you call?
I wouldn't call anybody.
And wow.
Hey, Corbin, before, can I just say that except for the very end where he referred to her as professor, if you played that audio for 100 people and said, which one is the professor and which one is the student, I think the overwhelming majority would have it flipped.
Yeah, he's super composed, right?
Yes.
And then so to fast forward to this week, the Cypress had come out, or I should say Cypress came out last week on Friday and said, you know, any efforts to suppress free and respectful expression on our campus will not be tolerated. The adjunct professor will be taking a leave of absence for the duration of her assignment, and she's unlikely to return in the fall semester. So this week, the union says the failure to issue a clear and strong statement of support for the faculty under these existing circumstances is a failure to be anti-racist. And the union is basically saying some of the faculty have been mistakenly identified as this professor who the school refuses to confirm who this woman is. And they've been attacked on social media. They've been dealing with traumatic experiences involving racist and sexist attacks, tarnishing the reputations. And so the union is essentially saying this was handled poorly, that the district has created a chilling effect that compromises academic freedom and safety of the workplace. So that's essentially all everyone separating into these five or so different areas.
Wow. You know, and here's the thing. It doesn't seem like what she did, I guess I can't understand, is the concern on the part of the school. What she did, which really all she did was interrupt the guy and mm-hmm. challenge him on some points, although I also feel like she was trying to like move the conversation somewhere else. That's all she did, really. Is it what she did, or is it the points that she was making that the school is objecting to, or do we have any idea why they are not supporting her?
Well, I would think that the main kind of hubbub that came from this is last Friday, this video goes viral. It goes, 200,000 people have seen it last Friday. Now, more than 1.3 million people have looked at this. So the students, the school is in this position where they feel like they have to react. They have to do something to, in essence, in their minds, at least according to their statements, their statement, protect free speech, protect this student's ability to support police, even though, in his words, it's not popular to say that right now. And then so, on the other hand, you have, and then if you look at some of the teachers also, or excuse me, some of the students that have taken her class in the past on Rate My Professor, they're kind of split. Some are saying, this was fantastic. I not only learned a lot about communications, but and giving speeches, but how to be more engaged and mature in discussions that are going on in the world right now. And others are calling her the worst teacher ever. This was not a communications class. It was more of a political argument. She gives us one side political lectures that go through, her opinion. She talks down white people, talks down cops, talks down military. Don't take her class. So again, you have this 100 class, 101 communications 101, very basic. Hey, come in, pick a topic, give me a speech, and move on. That's the class. But at the same time, on the other side of that argument, where the union is coming from, at least according to their statement, is she should be allowed to teach her class in the way that keeps kids engaged. And if you listen, I'm going to play one more cut for you. If you listen towards the end, there's a point from the union here. The union has a point here. Even though she's a bit abrupt, you'll hear here in a second, as she's winding down the class, you can hear other students and Braden and the professor chime in like, hey, I appreciate your position. Take a listen.
And I know that it's not popular for me to say that to you guys and people in here, but that's what I believe about the police.
Okay,
and,
thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much for listening to my point. I appreciate it. Thanks.
I will say, yeah, I'm glad you did say that, even if I disagree with you. It's important.
Yeah, and we should fight for the right for people to say things that we don't even like, right?
I may not agree with what you say, but I'll fight for your right to say it.
Amen, brother.
Within some extent.
So the question is she being let go? The question for Cypress College to face is she being let go because of the backlash, which, again, ironically, this was a speech about cancel culture, or is it a situation where she should have the freedom to teach her class in a productive way, and the student should have the freedom to bring this up in a productive way, and this is just the debate that goes on in college classes?
Yeah, that's all the question. Right. Corbin, thank you. We're criminally late for a news update. Right? No, it's not your fault. It's just why I can't continue the conversation, but you'll follow the situation. We can check back with you on how it goes.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. Corbin Carson, KFI News. We'll get a news update right now. It's KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the free iHeartRadio app.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the free iHeartRadio app. It's the Bill Handel Show. He's out with his bad back. Hey, coming up in a few minutes, it's Foodie Friday with Neil Saavedra, the Fork Reporter. But first, this just happened today. Grand jury indictment unsealed against the four officers involved in the George Floyd situation, accusing them of civil rights violations. Not surprising at all, but there's a bonus. Derek Chauvin has a second indictment. Same idea, violation of civil rights. This has to do with a completely separate incident in 2017 where he was called to a domestic disturbance, and there was a mother there who said her two children were hitting her and she wanted them out of the house. And so Chauvin goes to the room where the kid is, the son, 14 years of age, says, "You're under arrest." And apparently this kid said, "No, I'm not," and was not cooperative. And it ended with something of a violent struggle. The kid was struck with a flashlight multiple times in the head, was put into some kind of a neck restraint. And then Chauvin, you know, had him in a neck restraint for a period of time. And he ended up bleeding out of his ear and had to have stitches. Now, the state of Minnesota wanted to introduce this incident into the trial regarding the death of George Floyd, but the judge would not allow it. So now the feds have said, don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. Chauvin's got these other officers. It's really hard to know what's going to happen to them, even in the state case. It seems the evidence is so overwhelming against Derek Chauvin, and you can infer that the jury looked at that and did what the prosecution asked, which is just look at it. It is what it is. You know, the evidence is right there. It's overwhelming. The other three officers, it does get a little more complicated because, of course, none of them put his knee on a person's neck for a long period of time, and they have some more defenses available to them that Derek Chauvin just doesn't have. In the federal case, it's kind of the same thing because they didn't do the same things that Derek Chauvin did. And then Chauvin himself in this federal case, you know, the feds generally, they don't go after cops for civil rights violations unless they're very, very confident that they have a strong case. And that's not to say that they never lose or they never have to plea bargain down to something or let the guy plead to lesser charges, for example, but overwhelmingly they get a conviction. And I'll leave you with this. There's a little quirk, if you will, in the federal sentencing guidelines that say when you have a civil rights violation, there's different levels of severity. And then it says, or you'll be punished for any underlying crime. So you got to look at how did you violate the person's civil rights? Let's say you violated the person's civil rights by not letting them have a lawyer. Well, there's really no other crime going on. It's just a civil rights violation. But if you violate somebody's civil rights by killing them, then there is arguably a manslaughter or a murder underneath that. And you don't have to be charged or convicted of the other crime. The court is allowed to look at the facts and decide that, yeah, in real world terms, you committed that crime. So in the case of Derek Chauvin, if you were to end up with a judge finding that in real world terms, he committed a murder, then he could be looking at decades in prison on this federal criminal rights case. Civil rights case, excuse me. All right, I can't speak properly because I'm so excited. We have the Fork Reporter coming up, Neil Saavedra for Foodie Friday, right here on KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the free.
I'm starving.
Food. Glorious food.
Do you know how to cook, or do you just know how to put trash in the oven and then put it on a plate?
It's Foodie Friday with Neil Saavedra on The Bill Handel Show.
KFI AM 640 live everywhere on that free iHeartRadio app. Take KFI with you wherever you go. It's The Bill Handel Show. He is still out with his bad back. Gary and Shannon Show coming up at 10. Shannon's on a little vacation. Layla Muhammad filling in there. And joining us now, as he does every Friday, host of The Fork Report on Saturdays, 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. on KFI, all over your social media, at Fork Reporter. If you like to see a guy show off his backyard kitchen, those are the accounts to follow. Neil Saavedra, good morning.
I don't post much of my backyard kitchen.
Oh, you like to, once in a while, you like to do a little brag, like, listen, oh, I'm making a pizza outside in my backyard.
Sometimes you got to show them a little something.
Yeah.
A little something that says, hey,
it
I'm
is
a freaking Fork Reporter.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, that's a good point, because somebody could say, what entitles you
to
be the Fork Reporter as opposed to this guy? And then you can say, well, why don't you come into my backyard and see what I can do there? Who put all that together for you? Did one place like coordinate that whole backyard setup?
Outdoor Elegance, my buddies there in Laverne, they took care of the entire kitchen. So they helped me pick out the items. There was something that I didn't even know existed. Evo, E-V-O, is a company that all they do is create these flat tops, these cast iron flat tops that are dual ring, and you're bursting about 60,000 BTUs,
ooh,
British thermal units, to bring that thing up to a piping hot. It's like having a Mongolian barbecue in the backyard. And so they helped me redesign it after it was designed to be able to fit that thing in, because I fell in love with it.
But that's cool.
Yeah, they did a fantastic job.
All right, let's get into some things here. And you know what? Are you finding more and more, as you look at the world of food and food news, that more and more things are coming from social media, like viral TikTok videos, et cetera, than, say, even a couple of years ago?
Oh, absolutely. But my first reaction is, that's not a hack.
Well, okay, so let's see if this counts as a hack.
That's not a hack.
It's just a thing that people have known about that you happen to put on TikTok.
Exactly.
All right, let's
see.
9 out of 10 times. Let's see if this counts as a hack. So you're giving a party, summer's coming, it's going to be warm outside. Maybe you're putting out fruit cocktails, or you're putting out other shrimp cocktails. You need stuff to be kept, you know, cooler. So
yes.
TikTok hack, taking a baking pan, you fill it up with some water and you freeze that. And then you take another baking pan and put it over the top, and it's like a insulated cooling pan, and you put your food on top of that. Number one, is that an effective way to do it? Is it safe? But also, is that a true innovative hack or not?
It's not innovative. I've seen it before. As a matter of fact, most people just put ice in there.
Oh.
So, okay. So to give this, everyone knows what a chafing dish is. You see them in buffets. Oh, well, it's post-pandemic. A buffet was something you went to a long time ago. But you have two dishes or serving trays. In this case, these are kind of like the ones that you would get catered food in or something like that. They're aluminum. And you would seat one into the other. In this case, someone put like one third the height with water and put it in their freezer. Now, if you have a freezer that you can do this with, God bless you. Mine's full. But if you can put an entire, what looks to be like a 10 by 14 pan in there that's 4 inches deep, good for you. The thing that you're trying to do here, it's a reverse chafing dish in the sense that you are trying to cool something rather than keep it warm. Normally, you'd put that same amount of water in there. You'd heat it very lightly on the bottom. It would keep the water warm and then keep the dish warm that you put inside. All of this is for one reason. You have what they call a danger zone. Between 40 degrees and 140 degrees is the danger zone. If your food is in that, either it's 40 and below, it's being chilled or frozen to slow the bacteria, or it's 140 and above, and then you're cooking it to destroy the bacteria. In between that 40 to 140 degrees is where bacteria duplicates. It doubles every 20 minutes outside of the 2 hour mark. So when something's been sitting out for 2 hours, it starts to go bad very quickly, which is why, you know, people having backyard picnics or things like that, and they're having, you know, something with mayonnaise in it, like a potato salad or macaroni salad, and they sit out and they don't, and then everyone gets sick. Well, that's why. So this allows you to put things out and keep them chilled, but all you're doing is putting ice underneath it. There's no reason to freeze it as one solid piece. Just put ice down there. It'll keep it chilled. If it's something like perishables like cheese slices or something like that, this will do it just fine. You don't want it in the direct sun because the sun will battle that ice pretty well and things like that. But that's all you're doing. And if you want to be really good at it, then you put a thermometer in there that will keep the temperature visible so that you can see if it ever drops below that.
All right. So in other words, in a sense, this is basic stuff and people are trying to get a lot of attention by showing you just a way. Maybe they tweak it slightly, but there's really like such easy ways to keep cold food cold and warm food warm that you don't need this nonsense.
Now, you could maybe argue, and I don't know what the science is behind this, you could maybe argue that it would take longer to thaw out if it's in a solid form, because the, you know, ice has edges. Edges are thin, and those, that's why you put a sphere ice in drinks with whiskey, because you want them to melt slower. So the edges on ice, on square ice, tend to, you know, melt quicker because they're thinner. You could maybe make an argument that there's some difference there, but I would bet it's minuscule at that.
All right, let's get a news update and then put on your weird beer hat, Neil. Because
I was wearing it.
Oh, perfect. Already? Then leave it on. Then leave it on.
Oh, man.
Because when we come back, I'm gonna tell you about a beer that's brewed with something, and you can weigh in on, you know, how crazy is this, or is this just where we're headed with beers? And I know I haven't said what it's brewed with. That's the tease. This is KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the free iHeartRadio app. KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the free iHeartRadio app. Bill Handel's show. He's out with his bad back. Gary and Shannon show coming up at 10. Layla Muhammad in for the vacationing Shannon Farron. And with me now, our resident Fork reporter, host of the Fork Report radio program Saturdays from 2 to 5 p.m. on KFI, on social media at Fork Reporter, Neil Saavedra. Neil, Crooked Hammock Brewery, which is in Delaware, has a new beer out. It is called Yabba Dabba Brew, and it is brewed with fruity pebbles. I'll try to ask this as nicely as I can. What the hell are these people thinking with these crazy beers now?
Well, I'll tell you, some of them are obviously a novelty. And you can even tell by the picture. This comes from popsugar.com. You can tell by the photo that it is a limited run. And you can tell that by the way the can is dressed and labeled. And this is called Yabba Dabba. It is a nod to Fruity Pebbles in a beer. Now, let me say this is an imperial sour. And if you've not had a sour, I will tell you, they can be fantastic. They really can be wonderful. However, I have found that sours are best when you're pairing them with a food. So keep that in mind when you hear this and you go, oh my gosh, that sounds ridiculous. But if you paired this with something super salty, like a pork belly or something fatty and salty like that, it would go very well. So what they're doing is they're obviously getting attention by having this Yabba Dabba brew. Mm-hmm. And that they will do it for a limited time. You can't find it in stores. You have to order it online, that type of thing. But really, when you think that it's got orange and lemon and cherries in it, those flavors, you can find beers with orange notes, lemon notes, mm-hmm. cherry notes already. Putting this into a sour, although it sounds like super duper novel, like a one-off, I think this actually could be pretty tasty and probably pair with certain foods nicely. But it's not something your average Jane or Joe is going to be tossing back in the backyard with their feet up.
Is this the craft beer industry is sort of like they've realized it's a crowded space, and so anything to stand out? Is that Absolutely. Why they're doing this?
Absolutely. But it, because it also, you know, people that own breweries drink beer and then come up with ideas.
So you say they're like, ugh, I'm tired of all these beers. Let's come up with just something that'll be weird enough to keep me entertained.
I'm thinking they might all be drinking. And it, you know, by 2 in the morning, everyone looks at each other, dude. You know what sounds good? You know, we should have Fruity Pebbles right now. And then someone goes, you know what we should do? We should put Fruity Pebbles into a beer. I did that with Fruity Pebbles. I was having some one day because they're delicious. And I said, you know what? This would make a great ice cream. Mm-hmm. And I infused milk with an entire box of Fruity Pebbles over a few days and then strained it out. And then made some ice cream. Also did the same to the heavy cream, and the flavor got lost in the freezing process. Like Whoa. Because your mouth receives flavors differently when they're cold, that the cold overpowered even all of that, and even putting it in the ice cream. And I never went back to try and see if I could enhance it somehow. But we all do that when you're trying to think of something interesting or flavors you like, and you think, well, how can we combine this? This is obviously to get something on the map, and they send out a press release and then go, guess what we're doing? And all the little influencers jump on it and think, look, I've got this first. This is wacky. But I think actually this could be halfway decent.
Because the fact is that the Fruity Pebbles that they're using in the brewing process are going to end up probably not really contributing anything noticeable to the final result.
You're adding a couple of layers of complexity with the beer process itself and with that sourness. Those are all already complexities that will heighten the fruity playfulness of it. And one of the best, and I couldn't tell you what name it was, but it was one of the first sours I ever had. It was a cherry sour beer, and it was fantastic. But when you paired it, that happened to be paired with a very enhanced peanut butter and jelly sandwich, where the peanut butter was substituted with, sorry everyone, foie gras. And it was on a like a composite toast of really high-end grains, and the fattiness of it just and the sweetness of the jam, the homemade jam and all these things, it really made it pop. And so I think if you're going to have something like that, that's a novelty, find things that would be fun to make. A backyard beer that would be great if you're doing something on the grill with bacon or, like I said, larger chunks. I think it would actually be kind of tasty, but I don't think anybody's going to be sipping it for the hell of it.
I see. All right. Now, listen, we have about 30 seconds here, so Could you just give me a thumbs up or thumbs down on this idea? It's another TikTok viral thing. You take Otter Pops or any brand, whatever brand you like.
That's what we grew up with.
Okay, probably. And before, you know, before you put them in the freezer, you cut off the top, you pour out some of the Otter Pop juice, you replace it with booze, and then seal it with a curling iron. Great idea or no?
I'm not going to lie, I've done it. Long before I ever saw this, I've done it. There's actually, you can go on Amazon and you can find resealable ones. They have like Ziploc at the top. It comes with a funnel and you can make them the whole thing with yourself. The thing with Otter Pops or those types of things and adding alcohol, the ratio has to be right. It's the sugar in the water that helps them freeze. Anything 80 proof or above doesn't freeze. So it's a matter of mixing them properly. And for me, you can do the curling iron thing. They also make bag sealers that you can get on Amazon for sealing, you know, potato chip bags and things like that. You can do it with, but get the resealable ones. And then once you freeze them, you actually tear them off. They come in about 150. They're very, very good. It's all about the ratio of alcohol to what you have in there.
All right. Good weekend experimenting ideas for you. Thank you, Neil. We'll listen to you tomorrow from 2 to 5. Yeah, it is fun.
Please do. I love the show. I've heard every second of it. It's the only show I've ever listened to, every minute of it.
Your own show.
Yeah.
What a good guy. There he goes, Neil Saavedra. He'll be listening to himself tomorrow from 2 to 5 on KFI. Gary and Shannon show coming up next with Layla Muhammad in for Shannon. This is KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the free iHeart Radio. You ready? App.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.